Matthew chapter 9. I took the title from verse 28. Believe ye that I am able to do this. You believe I'm able to do what you're asking me to do. When Peter was about to go under the water, the Lord saved me. Saved me. Do you believe I'm able to actually do that? Do you believe I'm able to give you your sight that you might see? The Word of God is very clear concerning faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. The Word of God is very clear that Jesus Christ is the object of faith. He's the one we look to. We do not have faith in our faith. We have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust Him. We believe Him. Faith that does not draw its very life and strength from Christ is not saving faith. Anything short of saving faith is nothing more than superstition. That's all it is. Turn over to Acts chapter 17. In the book of Acts chapter 17. Anything short of faith in Christ is nothing but superstition. That's all it is. In Acts 17, in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. They had an altar to all these gods, and they had an altar to the unknown God. Just in case we miss one, we got an altar here for him. Just in case one shows up that we don't know about, we have an altar here. And Paul says, I perceive that in everything you are too superstitious. Too superstitious. Anything short of real saving faith in Christ is nothing but superstition. That's all it is. The Scripture teaches us in Hebrews 12:2 that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of faith. It begins with Him and it ends with Him. He's the author of it and He's the finisher of it. Listen to these Scriptures. In John 11, it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, in a person, speaking here of a person, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In Acts 16, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believe. It's not believing a set of doctrines at all. It's believing on a person. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's taking Him at His word. It's trusting Him to do just as He said He would. True faith believes and receives Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That eunuch asked Philip about being baptized. And he said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He said, I believe that. With all my heart, I believe that. And it's through faith that we receive the blessings of salvation. It's through faith that we receive justification. Listen to this scripture in Acts 13:39. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. And that covers everything. That all covers everything. Justified, cleared from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. All it could do was condemn. But all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are justified, cleared of all guilt, all charges. It says in Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, without the keeping of the law. Because no man, no woman can keep the law of God perfectly. But Jesus Christ did. He did. And that's why Paul says we conclude that a man is justified by faith, by looking to Christ. I look to Christ, every believer here looks to Christ as their righteousness. I look to Christ, He is my obedience. And the grace of God, when a man or woman is saved, that is in them, teaches them to deny ungodliness. It teaches us to shun the appearance of evil. But we're justified by faith in Christ. And then it's through faith we have peace with God. That's what it says in Romans 5:1. That through faith in Christ, we have peace with God. Apart from that, we don't. And then it's through faith that righteousness is imputed to us. It says in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, in light of all these scriptures, what would you say is the most wicked sin of all? Unbelief. Not to believe God. Can you imagine? Now think about this. Can you imagine when God speaks, when God tells us something, to say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Think about it now. To leave here this morning and not believe the gospel is to say to God, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I don't believe what you're saying. I don't trust what you're telling me. That's exactly what unbelief is. It's calling God, who cannot lie, a liar. A liar. Someone said, unbelief is Satan's firstborn child. He asked our first parents in the garden, he said, hath God said? The first thing Satan did was put a question mark over God's word, over what God said. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? You know you're not going to die. Now, really, come on. You really believe that? But a question, and they fell for it. Unbelief is the root of every sin. You know that? It's the root of every sin. Unbelief puts a question mark on all that God is. All that God is. God is holy. Unbelief puts a question mark on that. God is merciful. Unbelief puts a question mark on it. God is sovereign. He's immutable. He has all power. But unbelief puts a question mark on absolutely every attribute of God. Every attribute. God said, He asked this question. He said, He asked this question, and I believe it's in Isaiah. Is my arm shortened that it cannot save? Is my arm shortened that it cannot save? You know what unbelief says? Yes, it is. Unbelief says, yes, it is. Unbelief keeps men and women from coming to Christ. That's why men and women don't come to Christ. Sin does not keep you from coming to Christ. Not believing God keeps you from coming to Him. Not believing Him. It is the sin that so easily besets us in Hebrews 12. It's unbelief. It's the sin that so easily besets us. The least, someone said this, the least unbelief is of the same nature as the greatest unbelief. It's of the same nature. I read this poem somewhere. I don't remember exactly where, but it says, "Unbelief, which snatched from his hand the balance and the rod, rejudge his justice and be the God of God." That's what unbelief says. I have no doubt that the reason we do not enjoy more of the blessings of God is because of unbelief. Our Lord, it is written in the Gospel, it says, He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Unbelief. How many times did our Lord charge His disciples with unbelief? Why are you so fearful? Why don't you believe me? Why don't you trust me? Israel could not enter the promised land. For one reason. One reason. Those who died in the wilderness. There's only one reason given why they could not enter the promised land. Unbelief. They didn't believe God. They did not believe God. But in this case here we have of these two blind men, they are examples of faith. These men are set before us as examples of faith. Let's look at them here for a minute. First of all, it says, when Jesus departed in verse 27, when He departed thence, two blind men followed Him. They were both blind. They both had the same need. You know every person in this room has the same need. Give me Christ or else I die. Christ is my greatest need. If I have Jesus Christ, I have all I need. If I have Jesus Christ, I have the forgiveness of sins. I stand before God justified. I stand before God righteous. If I have Jesus Christ, I have all I need. My greatest need is to have my sin put away. Jesus Christ is my sin bearer. He's the one who put away all my sins. No one else can do that. I can't do it. I can't do it. But He can. He can. Notice here now the earnestness of these two men. It says here, they cried. Crying. You know, that implies desperation. That implies desperation. Peter drowning, going down under the water. Lord, save me. That implies desperation. God saves desperate sinners. It says in one place, He healed all that needed healing. Lord, I do need healing. I need healing. I need spiritual healing. I need it every day. I need it every hour. I need it. They were desperate. The very tone of their voice shows they were downright serious. They were crying. This matter of sin, this matter of my sin, you know, that's a desperate situation. You know, God puts men in hell over it. There are people in hell right now suffering. The rich man, he's still there. He's still lifting up his eyes in torment. Sin is a desperate thing. It's a desperate matter to be taken care of. And there's only one that can take care of it. And that's our Lord. That's our Lord. They didn't whisper, they cried. they cried. Desperate cases call for real faith. It calls for desperate faith. People don't mess around that are desperate, do they? They get right to the point. He's passing by. He's leaving the house. Or the place wherever he was there. He's leaving. And these blind men, they hear of him. And they're apparently right in that vicinity. They're right there in that area. No doubt they've heard him. And when he starts to leave, they start crying after him. It's serious. If you notice that the three people here, and there's some others that we'll see next week, how desperate their case was. The ruler, his daughter was dead. Is there any case more desperate than dead? It doesn't get any more desperate than dead. Dead. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years spent all her living upon physicians, and they all proved to be physicians of no value. That's what Job said of his friends. He said, "You are physicians of no value." That's what false religion is. False religion is nothing more than physicians of no value. They just make you grow worse. And then these two blind men. None of the people needed Christ like these people needed Christ. The greatest thing God could do for me and you is to show us our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I tell you this, ask Him. Be like these men, ask Him. Lord, show me my need of You. Show me my desperate need of You. Unless we see our case to be a desperate one, we won't cry after Him. We won't seek after Him. We won't follow after Him, not until we see that our case is desperate. We may come to church, we may go through the motions, but we will not cry after Him until we see how desperate our case is. Scripture says in Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Like Jacob, we say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I'll not let you go until you bless me. Jacob knew. He knew that his life, his safety was with the Lord. And he knew if the Lord didn't bless him, Esau was waiting on him. I tell you, if the Lord hadn't blessed Jacob that night, Esau wouldn't have embraced him. He would have killed him. Who you think changed Esau's heart? It wasn't Esau. It wasn't Esau. God did. God gave him favor. What's sad is how few people are really, really, really in such earnest about their souls. People are more concerned about retirement than eternity. I've had many, many more conversations about retirement with people than I've ever had about eternity. Ever. No comparison. This life will soon be over. Then what? There was an older gentleman asked a young man one time. He said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "Well, I want to finish my schooling." He said, "Then what?" He said, "Well, I want to get a job. Try to get a career, what I went to school for." He said, "Then what?" He said, "Well, I probably get married and have a family." raise my family, then what? Well, he said, I guess I'll retire. I'll retire. He said, then what? I said, well, I guess I'll die. He said, then what? Then what? That's where it starts. It's not here. It's when I die. Then what? Then what? Now let's notice something here else here about their faith. It was persevering faith. It says they followed Him. Do you know how difficult it had to be blind and follow Him? The Lord didn't make it easy on them. You know why? He tried their faith. He tried their faith. He did not make it easy on them to follow Him. He made them follow Him while they were blind and they couldn't see Him. No doubt they had to ask people, where is He? Where is He? Which way is He going? You know, they had to feel their way. But the Lord led them in their own blindness to follow. He led them. He made sure they followed Him. But you know how hard it'd have to be to follow Him being blind? Following Christ is not easy. It's always a trial of faith. There's always a trial of faith in following Christ. Disappointments come along. The Lord takes things away from you. It's hard. You say, why? But you don't turn back, do you? You know, one time He said, except they eat my flesh and drink my blood, He said, except you do that, you have no life in you. And there were some that were offended. They were offended. They said, this is a hard saying. Who could hear it? And they turned back and walked no more with Him. But some continued following. Some continued to follow Him. And the Lord said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit. They're spirit, they're spiritual. I'm not talking about cannibalism. I'm talking about faith. Talk about faith. Follow me by faith. Through all the sunshine and the rain, the storms, the ups and downs, we follow Him. If He's our life, we follow Him. If we know Him, we follow Him. Whatever comes along. Whatever comes along. It's like in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Have you seen Him whom my soul loveth? Have you seen Him? I'll tell you who these men were. Over in Isaiah 40, I believe it's Isaiah 43, but they were children of light walking in darkness. That's who they were. They were the Lord's. These two men were trusting in the name of the Lord. They were trusting in His person. They called Him, listen, they called Him what the Pharisees would not call Him. What the religious leaders wouldn't call Him, they called Him Son of David. They recognized Him as the Messiah. This is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. They were trusting their Savior. These men knew far more than those Pharisees knew. The Pharisees said, He's a wine-bibber. He's a gluttonous man. He eats with publicans and sinners. And these two blind men said, no, He's a son of David. He's a son of David. Royalty. Royalty. That's who He is. They believed in His heart, in their hearts, that He was a son of David. And they acted upon it. You see, faith, true faith is an act of grace. It's an act of grace. You will follow Him. If you really believe, you will follow Him. You can't help but follow Him. No more than you can help but believe Him. You know why I believe the gospel? I can tell you why I believe the gospel. I can tell you why you believe the gospel. You can't help it. You believe the gospel as easily, as much as you breathe. Try not to breathe. Just try not to breathe. Your body will fight you. You believe the gospel because God has made it so plain to you, because God has revealed it to you, and you can't help but believe. Faith is the response of the work of God in you. That's what it is. It's the response of the work of God in you is what faith is. And true faith always honors the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the best way to honor someone? Believe them when they tell you something. Isn't it offensive when you're telling somebody the truth and they say, "I don't believe that"? Well, you think I'm lying to you? You think I'm not telling you the truth? You think I just made that up? Well, put that on a higher level. Put that on God's level. What He's telling us is truth. It's just not some things that are true. It's the truth. It's the truth. And true faith honors God by believing God. And then these men had a definite need that they made known, their sight. They had a definite need, their sight. They wanted their sight. They weren't crying for nothing. They knew what they needed. They knew what they wanted and they needed and they asked for it. Some people just pray to be praying, and they pray for things in general. Well, just bless this, bless that, do this, do that. No. When we pray, let's ask for things specific. Like these men, have you or I, in distinct terms, asked the Lord to save? Lord, save me. Save me. Save me. Save me from my sins. Save me from indwelling sin. Save me from the power of darkness. Save me from the power of Satan. Lord, save me. I tell you what, I can pray that every day. I can pray it every day. Lord, save me. I've been saved. I'm being saved. And I shall be saved. That's the way of grace. That is the way of grace. David expressed in Psalm 51 distinctly. He asked God specifically for a clean heart and a right spirit. That's what he said. He says, "Create in me a clean heart and a right spirit, O God." Pray for light. Pray for life. Pray for forgiveness. Pray, Lord, save me. Save me. Who has God ever refused who came to Him sincerely for mercy, for grace, for forgiveness? You won't read of it in the Scriptures. You never read of the Lord turning away a sinner in need of mercy. Those Pharisees, he said, leave them alone. The self-righteous, he said, leave them alone. But the sinners, the publicans, the harlots, those who needed him, he welcomed them and gave them what they needed. These men were conscious of their need. They were conscious of who Jesus Christ was, and it made them confess their unworthiness and their need. They said, here's their unworthiness. Have mercy on me. They said, have mercy on us. When we truly ask God to have mercy on us, we're confessing our unworthiness. If I were worthy, I wouldn't ask for mercy because I wouldn't need it. I'd just be asking for it because I'm worthy of it. But mercy, mercy says one thing. I'm not worthy of what I'm asking for. I'm not worthy. Guilty people need mercy. Sinful people need mercy. Wretches need mercy. As our Lord said in Matthew 9:12, the whole need not a physician, but the sick. The sick. We plead with God like beggars. Cecil Roach, a man that went to 13th Street, he was one of the elders there for a year. He would always use this term, mercy beggars. We're just mercy beggars. That's all we are. Like that thief on the cross, just a mercy beggar. We plead for mercy through the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Lord, let thy blood be propitiation for my sins. That's the only grounds a sinner can stand on. The merits, the person of Jesus Christ. David said in Psalm 51, according to thy loving kindness and tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. How can God blot out my transgressions against Him? How can God blot out my transgressions against His law? Through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's how you can do it. Here's the question of questions. Our Lord asked this question. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? What a question. These men sought to have their sight. They desperately wanted to see. And our Lord asked them one question that stood between them and sight. Do you believe I'm able to do this? That's a powerful question, isn't it? Do you believe I'm able to give you your sight? And here's the question put to us. If anyone's struggling with guilt, do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to provide you with a righteousness that's without spot or blemish? Do you believe He's able to do that? Do you? The Jews didn't. It says in Romans 10:1, they went about to establish the righteousness of their own and would not submit to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the reason they would not submit to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, they didn't see any need of it. They thought they could do just fine without it. I can produce one just fine. Go ahead. I don't need this one. Do you believe that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is enough? Do you? Anyone filled with the sense of the vileness of sin? Do you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is able to make you clean? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to present you spotless before the throne of God? Do you believe He's able to do that? Well, it's this. It's yes or no. No maybe to this. It's yes or no. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to deliver you from the punishment of sin through Him, His substitutionary work? It's yes or no. Do you believe that Christ is able to keep you from falling away like Judas? Do you believe that Christ is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him? It's either yes or no. Faith in Christ is essential to salvation. Believe ye that I'm able to do this. Faith in His person. Faith in His righteousness. Faith is the vessel that receives Christ and all that He is and all the blessings that flow through Him. To as many, it says in John 1, to as many as received Him. Someone said a man will make no progress in salvation who does not believe that Jesus Christ is able to do all things. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Whatever this is in your case, do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to take care of it? Do you? I believe that Christ is able to save my soul, but you know, I've got problems with this. No, that's not it. Do you believe that He's able to take care of whatever this is in your case? These men, if they had said, well, I don't know. I don't know. We've tried everybody else. They would have remained blind. They would have remained blind. If we really, from our hearts, don't believe that Christ is able to save us or take care of our situation, we'll die in our sins. You ever wonder why? Did you ever wonder why that it's so easy to believe that Christ can save others, but it's having a difficult time with saving me? I mean, I have no trouble whatsoever standing here talking to you. Christ is able to save you. Trust Him. Look to Him. Then I have my moments of doubt about myself. I have my moments of darkness. You know, John the Baptist, when he was locked up in prison, he sent his disciples. He said, "Will you go and ask him if he is the Christ, or should we look for another?" This is John the Baptist, having his moment of darkness. You know why? You know why it's easier sometimes is just to talk, tell others to trust than it is for me to actually trust and to follow Him? Because it's a lot easier to say jump than it is to jump. It's a lot easier to tell somebody to jump than it is to jump yourself. Put everything, lock, stock, and barrel on Him. Lock, stock, and barrel. Notice their response. They said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." True faith always cries, "Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes." And you know that the evidence that they were telling the truth is that they've got their sight. They got their sight. It's evident they really did believe Him. They did believe Him. Our Lord said in Mark 9, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes." He said in Luke 18, "And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." The object of thy faith, we know, is Christ. He's the one who saves. Our Lord didn't question them about their future plans, what they were going to do. He didn't put them on probation. He gave them their sight. Because they believed. They believed. He knew they believed. He created the faith in them. Henry said one time, he quoted that scripture, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Henry said, "He'll find it where he gives it." He'll find it where he gives it. The reason we are so long in gaining the blessing is because we take so long in saying, "Yes, Lord, I believe you're able. I believe you're able." Do you believe? This is the question. This is the question of questions. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to do this, whatever this is in your case? Okay, Billy.